Aren't you just glad that the words of that song are so true? I hope it's true in your life that you have experienced the power of Jesus. Well, good morning. My name's Josh, and I've got the privilege of sharing God's word with you this morning. Hope that I find you well, and wherever you are watching this, I hope that you are open to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. I know it's often difficult to concentrate. We've been consuming so much media, haven't we, since March? But let's just try and focus in this morning, and what I believe God has got for us to hear will be significant for us. Well, like many people around the UK this summer, my family and I enjoyed a holiday in the UK, and we travelled up to the Scottish Highlands. And it was actually the first time I'd ever really been into Scotland. I'd been just over the border across Hadrian's Wall a few years ago, but this was my first trip all the way up to the Highlands. First of all, I was quite surprised to find out how big Scotland actually was, as we drove 9 hours just to get there, and then another 4 to 5 all the way up to Fort William into the Highlands. And we climbed Ben Nevis. It was an amazing experience. Ben Nevis is the highest mountain in the UK. It's 1,300 meters high. And it was, I must say, one of the hardest things I've ever done. I kind of underestimated how difficult it was going to be. If you're watching this and you're familiar with Folkestone, we trained, well, in inverted commas, by going on the three hills which we've got here, Sugarloaf Hill and Castle Hill. When we arrived at the Highlands, I thought, oh dear, I think we may have slightly underestimated the height of these mountains. Anyway, we had a great day climbing Ben Nevis, and we were able to reach the summit where there was snow and all kinds of exciting stuff up there. It was a very, very fun day. It took us about 10 and a half hours to go to the top and all the way back down again. But I wanted to share with you something that happened probably about a quarter of the way up, possibly about maybe a third of the way up, not really sure. Something happened which was quite dramatic. We came to a place where another mountain came down to the side of where we were climbing up, and there was this amazing valley which had formed with a stream, probably quite some meters below, perhaps 50 meters below where we currently were walking. And there was three waterfalls which came down to meet into this stream, and it was flowing very, very quickly. So we decided it would be a good place to have a stop and enjoy a rest. So we stopped and sat on a wall. Now, my daughter Edie, who is 13, she had her backpack on, and she took her backpack off, and she went to take her coat on or put her coat on. I can't remember which it was, as the temperature changes quite a lot throughout the walk, so you're forever putting coats on and off and all that kind of thing. Anyway, as she did that, she knocked her bag with her elbow, and it went over the back of the wall, and it began to roll down this 50-meter drop towards the stream at the bottom. Now, as you can imagine, the sight of a pink rucksack rolling down the hill with all of her belongings in it, including her mobile phone, which she hadn't had for very long, caused quite a panic for Edith. And she began to shout and scream, "My bag, my bag!" Also, it caused quite a lot of panic with the mountain goats as a pink rucksack rolled towards them, and they dispersed rather quickly on different angles. And it began to roll, gaining more and more momentum, until I realized it's not going to stop. It's going to end up in the stream. What do I do? And 100 different things go flashing through my mind, and without really thinking, I took my coat off, jumped over the wall, and began to go down this very, very steep bank into where the bag was rolling. And it continued to roll, and it eventually got to the edge of the stream and then dropped down into the stream. At this point, I couldn't see the bag. So I began to go down. My children then became quite anxious as I actually disappeared down into the stream. I discovered that this quite tranquil stream was in fact flowing rather quickly as the three waterfalls met it. And up close, it was a lot more terrifying than it was picturesquely 50 meters up. So I decided, what do I need to do? I need to try and get this bag out of the stream. Fortunately, it kind of got stuck in a little whirlpool, deciding which rock to go round next. So I leant over, and by this point, I'm kind of thinking, I'm going to be one of those stories where somebody gets seriously injured rescuing a bag where they really shouldn't have bothered. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness me. So I had a walking stick with me, and I tried to scoop the bag out with the walking stick leaning all the way over, but the bag was too heavy and it snapped my walking stick in half. And I thought, ah, okay. That was probably why it was £5 on Amazon and not one of the £100 ones. But anyway, I thought, okay, what am I going to do now? So I leant forward and I prayed and I said, God, please don't let me fall in here, because it was just full of rocks and I would have cracked my head probably, and that may well be the end of me. So I managed to pull the bag out, but it was incredibly heavy, full of water. It had loads of Edie's clothes in it that she'd taken for the walk. And so I managed to pull the bag up and I emerged again at the bottom of the hill. We've actually got a picture of it, which I think is going to just come up on the screen next to me here. And there's a picture of me emerging victorious. You have to look very closely at it. If you're looking at a small screen, you probably won't be able to see me at all. But there is a very small version of me down the bottom with the bag, and I began to climb back up much more slowly than I'd gone down with an incredibly heavy bag. Managed to get it back up, got the phone out. Fortunately, the phone had been on the top of the bag, and actually not much of the water had gone in, and it just took a day or two for some of the phone to dry out, but the phone was okay. But we then couldn't carry on with the bag because it was so full of water. So we emptied the bag out, drained all the clothes out. Loads of other people, of course, were walking, wondering what on earth we were doing. How was the bag that soaking wet? I think while I'd been gone down, some people had thought somebody had fallen down. It was all very, very dramatic. And we decided that what we would do is squeeze all the clothes out and leave them in a carrier bag behind one of the rocks. And actually that's what we did, and we carried on the ascent to the top. And then when we came back down the same way, we collected the bag. And it was very, very dramatic. And looking back, it's quite funny really. But at the time when I was going down the hill, I thought to myself, this is one of the scariest things I've ever done. What am I doing this for? But afterwards I was kind of thinking about it, and it made me think of something, because many of the things in that bag we didn't actually need for the journey, because we ended up leaving them behind. The dramatic event had caused us to empty the bag out of everything but the essential items. And that got me thinking about our lives, because at the moment we're all living through a dramatic event which has forced us to stop, maybe forced us to put down whatever it was we were carrying. For many of us, life stopped completely. And even for those of you watching whose workload perhaps increased, perhaps you work for the NHS or you're another key worker, maybe your workload increased. And even if it did, life still doesn't look the same now. Life still is very different. And the COVID-19 outbreak and pandemic has caused us to stop and empty out what we were carrying. And my challenge this morning in my message is, what will we pick up again for the rest of the journey? The next couple of weeks, we see lockdown eases more and more as we go back to school and we're encouraged to once again go back to the office instead of working from home. And what will we pick up? Will we pick up just everything that we had before and carry on as we were? Or actually, will we take the opportunity that I believe God has given us to be strategic about what we pick up again? Now, of course, Jesus talks exactly like this to his disciples. And I want us to turn to the Gospel of Mark this morning and to chapter 6. I love the Gospel of Mark because you can read it quite quickly, and Mark doesn't really kind of go into loads of detail about everything. So if you want a quick run through of the Gospel message, Mark's a great one to read through. And we see in chapter 6 and verse just the last part of verse 6, I'll read it to you. Then Jesus went from village to village teaching the people, and he called his 12 disciples together, and he began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick. No food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. Wow. Interesting words from Jesus. Words that kind of sound almost irresponsible, if I could say that this morning. Take nothing for the journey. What was Jesus talking about? One of the things I love about following Jesus is that his teaching is often outrageous. It flies in the face of what we're supposed to do by our current culture and current worldviews. It flies in the face. And here, this is again some teaching from Jesus which seems to be kind of crazy almost. Take nothing with you, Jesus says, for what I have for you to do next, except for the essentials. And of course, we can interpret these words in many different ways, and people have, of course, over the centuries done exactly that. But this morning, I just want us to focus on each of the items that Jesus talks about, because I believe that they can be significant in helping us to think, okay, this dramatic event has happened, like the bag rolling down the hill, but it's now given us an opportunity to see what is really important. What do we really need to carry on in what is supposedly now called the new normal? I don't really like that phrase. I don't really like the word normal anyway. New normal kind of sounds even worse, doesn't it? But whatever's happening next, what is it that God would have us to do? Well, first of all, Jesus mentions bread. Take no bread, he says, for the journey. And of course, bread is what we would naturally survive on, isn't it? We discovered on our walk up Ben Nevis that we took far too much food. We were worried that we were going to run out and not have enough. And in the end, we took far too much with us. And when we got back to our tent, we discovered that most of it hadn't been eaten at all or even opened. And so Jesus reminds us that we're not to rely on just the natural. You see, the bread can represent many things, can't it, in the Bible? And I think in this instance, it represents our natural instinct to want to do things for ourselves. But God wants us to rely on the Holy Spirit for the journey. He wants us to rely on him, the bread of life. It's one of the titles that Jesus gives himself. Not to rely on natural things for our sustenance and energy, but to rely on the Holy Spirit. As we enter this new normal, will we begin to trust in the Holy Spirit even more? Perhaps you've come to faith for the first time during the pandemic. Perhaps you're exploring things in a new way. Are you going to allow the supernatural to enter your life through the power of the Holy Spirit and not just rely on the natural? Of course, as Jesus was tempted by the devil in the desert, one of the things that he replied was that man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that the Father has. And of course, we have every word right here written down for us from him. Will we rely on this? And will we rely on Jesus, the bread of life, as we continue now? Will we put down those other things? What will we pick back up again in terms of what we rely on for our sustenance? Jesus then says, don't take a bag with you. Well, on our walk to Ben Nevis, we all had a bag with us full of many different things. And of course, we went on holiday as well and took even more bags with us. In fact, it was quite funny to see the difference between my eldest two children packing. My eldest son, Isaac, who's 15, took just a small holdall for what was to be a three-week holiday and took hardly anything with him. And my daughter, Edie, took this huge suitcase, absolutely rammed full of everything that she thought she could possibly need for 3 weeks, most of which, again, wasn't used at all. And Jesus says, don't even take a bag with you, let alone anything in it. Don't even take the bag. Well, what was he meaning by that? Well, of course, a bag can be a burden, can't it? Something that we just carry around with us, maybe without even thinking. And again, this dramatic event on the Highlands caused us to empty the bag and leave it behind. What about this dramatic event that we're all living through? Will it cause us to put the bag down? I think of the story of Pilgrim's Progress and the character Christian and how he carries around the burden on his back until he comes to the place of forgiveness. Because often the things that we can carry around with us are either things that we've caused to be in that bag ourselves by our own sin, or perhaps sometimes the mistakes of other people. We can carry those things around with us. But I believe that the current situation in the world has enabled us to put those things down. We can come to Jesus and ask his forgiveness. Come to Jesus and ask for his healing. And we can empty that bag of the things that we don't need. So no bread, no bag. And then, interestingly, Jesus says, take no money. take no money with you, which is probably a good thing, I guess, because not many of us have much money at the moment, do we, with everything that's been going on. But he also mentions the clothes, the extra clothes. He says, take no money, take no extra clothes with you, just take the clothes that you're wearing and the sandals on your feet. And again, in other words, God wants us to rely on his provisions, not the things that naturally keep us going, a little bit similar to the bread. We can so easily rely on money and our things that we have, even our own giftings, perhaps, could be included in this. But Jesus calls us to something extra, calls us to something different. And post-COVID, will we just simply just start relying on all that again as perhaps money starts to come back into our lives and possessions start to come back in? Will we just rely on all that again? Or will we actually rely on Jesus, rely on the Holy Spirit? I was reminded of the story of Peter in the book of Acts, and he encounters the beggar by the gate, who of course is asking for silver or gold, begging for money. And Peter does something really interesting. He looks at him and he says, well, silver and gold I do not have. Perhaps because he was still following Jesus' instructions. Maybe that's why he didn't have any on him, because he knew that when he was to go out, he wasn't to take any money. And he says to the beggar, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And this lame man, we read, stands up and jumps about in celebration. How much easier would it have been for Peter just to toss him a few copper coins as they went into the temple? That would have been easy, but instead Peter went out on a limb. And of course, Peter had been so used to relying on his own natural abilities. It had got him into so much trouble. Think about him chopping off the ear of the soldier at Jesus' crucifixion. Or of course, Jesus famously telling him that he was almost Satan as he tried to advise Jesus on what to do next, again in the natural. But now we see Peter not operating like that, but operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. How about you? How about me in this new world that we enter into? Will we just continue to rely on what we're good at, rely on what we have, or will we actually be relying on the Holy Spirit and doing some scary things, doing some bold things, stepping out and seeing a miracle in the lives of people around us? They're the things then that Jesus tells us not to take. And then he tells the disciples to take a staff with them, a stick. And I'll just briefly touch on this before we finish, because staffs and sticks are mentioned quite a lot in the Bible, of course, famously in the story of Moses. Moses' staff represents the power of the Holy Spirit in his life as he does everything that God would want him to do. Of course, the miraculous signs and wonders that he performs using that staff. And of course, they're mentioned in many other places, but particularly I was thinking in Psalm 23, where we read quite near the beginning, your rod and staff protect and comfort me. And of course, there we have the image of the shepherd and the sheep, and Jesus as the shepherd and us as the sheep. And the truth is, sheep are often quite stupid, aren't they? Wandering off, getting lost, being disobedient, not doing what they're supposed to be doing, going after the better grass, getting their heads stuck in a fence, trying to get hold of something. All those sorts of things that we can encounter when we go into the countryside. And of course, the shepherd's crook or rod or staff is there to direct the sheep. And so, will we allow Jesus to direct us? Or will we be stubborn? Will we be stupid like the sheep and just want to go our own way? Or will we allow that staff that we carry, the staff of protection, the staff of comfort, maybe like the staff of Moses, the staff of power, will we allow that into our lives as Jesus directs us, as Jesus perhaps even disciplines us? That's uncomfortable, isn't it? But of course, that is what the shepherd does with his sheep. To finish with, the commentator Matthew Henry writes quite a lot about this part of the Bible and Jesus's teaching. And he suggests that perhaps the disciples were to go out like this to appear poor, to appear, in fact, otherworldly to the people that they encountered, that they would appear different because they didn't have these things around them that perhaps everybody else had. I thought, what an interesting thought, that as we go forward into the new world, into the new normal, are we too going to look different? Of course, in the Beatitudes we read, don't we, that Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. often difficult to understand, but really, if we just replace the word poor with the word humble, blessed are the humble in spirit as we allow God to direct our paths. So this morning, my challenge to you and my challenge to me is that this event, this COVID-19 outbreak, has presented us with an opportunity to not just simply pick everything back up again and carry on as normal, but in fact just to pick up the essentials that God would have us to pick up. And so my challenge to you watching this morning, and to me and to the rest of us here, is will we just simply pick up everything that we had before and carry on? Or, like us on the mountain, will we take stock? Will we stop? Will we remove some of the things from our bag and just carry on with the things that God would have us to do? Carry on the journey that God would want us to be on. Perhaps the journey would begin for the very first time. Perhaps for you this morning watching this, you're yet to follow Jesus. And you can start that journey this morning. It's very simple. All we do is come to him and first of all, say sorry. Sorry for doing it my way. Sorry for packing my own bag. Sorry for using my own stuff all the time. And we simply say, Jesus, will you forgive me? And then we say, Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you come and dwell within me? Will you come and help me to follow the example of Christ? If we do that, we can begin a journey of adventure which can lead us to the summit of a mountain, could lead us to miraculous events. But will we be brave enough to do that today? Let me pray, and then we're going to sing a song which will enable us to respond. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have written it down for us to help us, challenge us, encourage us, teach us. Jesus, we thank you for your teaching. Thank you for its outrageous nature. Lord, we pray that we would have the courage to follow your teaching. As lockdown eases further, we would have the courage not to simply carry on doing what we were doing before, but we would be able to hear your voice. I pray for everyone watching. I pray for the team here. I pray for myself that we would have the courage to follow after you, Jesus. Amen.